people like you build successful business models and sustain the motivation needed to market, scale, and grow your business, just like I did. If you're ready to go, let's get started.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's podcast. I am here today with Andy of TimeSmart. Andy is, how would I describe exactly what you do?
You're going to ask me that now.
I will tell you first of all how I came in contact with Andy. So I went on one of his workshops, which was all about his Smart Week concept. And that's what we're going to go through today, because a lot of you will have heard in some of my previous podcasts me talking about the importance of managing your time in order to reach your goals and to make sure that you're turning that vision into specific goals, which you're then putting into your diary as actual actions. And believe me, once Andy stopped talking, there will be a lot clearer version of that. And that's why I wanted to invite him onto the podcast today, so that he could really explain to you a lot about time management and how it can massively, well, change your entire business results, I think is fair to say. So I will pass on. Please tell me a little bit about TimeSmart.
Okay, well, thank you for inviting me on.
You're welcome.
In terms of what the people refer to me as,
yes.
Well, I refer to myself as a time and productivity coach and trainer.
Fab.
And I deliberately use the word time rather than time management, as we were talking about earlier, and I alluded to in the workshop, there is no such thing as time management. It has never existed, yet it is one of the most used phrases out there on this topic, and it really frustrates me.
Yeah.
But I have to use the phrase because people understand it.
Yeah, of course.
But you can't manage, you know, the concept of managing something means you can influence the outcome, but you can't influence time. Time will just keep ticking away.
Yeah.
And even if you stop your watch or stop your clock, the global clock still ticks away.
Yeah.
So you can't do anything with time. And the problem with saying I'm not good at time management, or I need to improve my time management, that is just an excuse, because it isn't time management, it's self-management.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if you don't have enough time to do the things that you want to do, then it's, and this is sometimes a little bit contentious, it's all down to you.
Yeah.
What I do also get is, at this moment in time, a lot of people perhaps aren't aware of the things that they could do to free up more time for themselves or reduce their workload, because, you know, I'm about doing less but achieving more, and we'll come on to that in a bit. So, because again, we don't teach this stuff at school. That's probably my biggest frustration. We don't teach, I was never taught time management.
No.
And then when you go into the workplace, and I'm going to use the phrase time management just for a moment because people understand it. And when you go into the workplace, nobody teaches you time management.
No.
So it leaves all of us with, in the situation that we're in.
Mm.
And for most, and I was there a number of years ago, where I'm constantly saying and complaining, I don't have enough time.
Mm.
But nobody actually taught me the things that I need to do and I could do that actually will just slow things down.
Yeah.
Help me identify what are the few things I need to do, and then actually enable me to free up a load more time to do more of the things I want to do.
Yeah. And I think especially talking to people who are just starting a business, it's scary to say to them, slow down. Because I know from my personality type, I don't want to slow down. I want to speed up. I want to do more. But is your goal, is it about work-life balance, or is the goal with your clients about business results, or what is it that it what problem is it that it solves?
Okay. The easy answer is it's about enabling people to free up time to do more of what they want to do.
Yeah.
And that is very vague, because I'm not going to name the clients, but if I think about people I've worked with, one client wanted to free up more, they charge by the day. So they wanted to free up more income charging time.
Of course,
Another client was working most evenings in the week.
Yeah.
And actually what they wanted was some time back in the evenings for themselves and to spend with their family.
Yeah.
Another client had a full-time job and they wanted to launch their own business.
Yeah.
But for 2 years, they had never got round to even starting doing what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
We freed them up a day a week and then made sure we filled that day with the right activity.
Yeah.
And 10 months later, they've raised £300,000 investment and launched their new business.
Incredible.
Well, they bought a business. It was what they were looking to do. So very different things for different people. And this phrase, work-life balance, is an interesting phrase.
Mm.
And I think, again, you've got to chuck that one in the bin
right
away.
Interesting, yeah.
Because the world has changed phenomenally. Mm. And this concept of, I want this work-life balance. So you ask somebody, well, what does that mean? And normally, you know, a traditional answer is, well, I want to go to work at 9 o'clock and I want to be at home at 5 o'clock and have time in the evenings. Well, whose job generally starts at 9 and finishes at 5 these days?
Yeah.
So I think we're chasing after something that you're never going to get.
Mm.
So therefore, we're consistently frustrated.
And the word balance is almost this perfectionist sort of thing, isn't it? How do we know when we're balanced?
You'll never get there.
No, of course.
You did get there for a few weeks or a few months.
Yeah.
Life is going to throw a life ball at you.
Yeah.
I normally call them curveballs, but I've just made up life ball. I actually quite like that.
Yeah.
They're going to throw a life ball, and that might be a relative who goes ill.
Yeah.
It might be a change in your work circumstances. It might be something is happening with a child that's going to require more time for a while.
Mm.
So for me, it's about whatever you need your time for, in terms of the priorities, because I can guarantee you are never going to have enough time to do everything you want to do.
No.
And we can maybe come on to that in a little bit as to why we want to do so much more today than we used to 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And because 20 years ago there was no Google, there was no social media.
Yeah,
the only mobile phone you could get was a Nokia. The only phone game was Snake.
Yes.
So maybe
there's only so much time you can spend on
me, that. Probably doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I remember Snake.
So, but for me, it's about having the time that you want for whatever you want to do that are the bigger priorities. So for some people. And again, if I want to work 70 hours a week, I am happy working 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
But it's all planned, purposeful time.
Yes.
But then there'll be other times when we just have the Easter break.
Yeah.
I didn't touch work at all. I took all 4 days off.
Yeah.
I'll finish early today because I'm going to do something.
Yeah.
So it will always ebb and flow.
Yeah.
But it's, for me, it's about, do I have the time for the most important things in my life and in my business? And as long as I do, I'm happy.
And I think what you said there, what came to my mind while I was listening to you, is actually you have, before that sort of methodology for how to manage your time or manage yourself, I should say, it's about knowing exactly what those priorities are.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we might say we know what our priorities in life are, but actually when we look at what we do on a daily basis, we're not doing anything towards them. And, you know, for me, that context might be business, like goals in my business. And actually, when I sit down and think about it, and after your workshop, I was like, I'm spending a lot of time doing things which are not going towards my top three goals, or like my only three goals right now.
Yeah.
So what, you know, what's your teaching around that?
A lot of it comes from, and I will have told the story in my workshop. So I'd spent 18 years in corporate life, in retail management. And at the time, the company I was in, I'd worked for 5 companies up to this point. And the final company that I was working in, I was up to about 80 hours a week. I was one of 51 people in this role that we did.
Wow.
I was a field-based area manager, up to about 80 hours a week and not even getting the results from my hard work. And none of us were. I mean, I was part of a region of 10. And we were all in the same boat. And it was almost out of despair that one weekend, because I could have quit my job, I could literally have just resigned on Monday and walked away. And luckily I had the weekend between thinking I'm going to quit and actually doing something about it. And during that weekend, and previously before, I'd been influenced by a story from the early 1900s. Mm. And if you want to look it up, it's if you just go and Google Charles Schwab, and Ivy Lee, you'll just get the story online.
Okay.
You can go and look for it. And but really, that story and the success that came from it was just about prioritization. And during this weekend, I just thought, can it really be that easy? Can it really be as simple as defining a handful of priorities and then ignoring everything else? So I identified during that weekend that when I added up the business activity that was being asked of me in my day job, there was 96 hours of work a week. Well, of course, I'm never going to get that 40 or even 50 hours a week because they're asking me to do too much. But I didn't even know how much was being asked of me.
Yeah.
And I think today we're all so busy.
Yeah.
If I ask anybody to tell me, well, how many hours do you spend doing all the different activity you do? Nobody can tell me.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an exercise I do with them. And literally, we write down every single task you're doing in the week. How much time do you give it? What's the frequency? And we add it all up. And very often, what you're trying to do doesn't fit.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. And then the other thing was, I recognised that we were being asked in various cases. I've got 28, I was responsible for 28 stores, a team of about 350 people. And in some instances, we were being asked to do 29 different things. Well, no wonder we weren't getting anything done.
Yeah.
And over the course of the next month, each business unit, we binned everything. And all they had, some of those stores had three things to focus on. Some had two, and some, if that one thing was that big, they just had one thing.
Wow, yeah.
And within a month, I was down to 40 hours a week for the next 2 years.
That's a really quick turnaround of that, isn't it?
But I guess it was out of desperation.
Yeah.
It was like, so I already
hitting rock bottom.
Yeah. So I've got nothing, isn't it?
It's
funny. It's not funny. But it's funny how we push ourselves to that limit before we actually make the changes that we probably know we should make. But I was down to 40 hours a week, and then over the next 2 years, when I finally left, my business area went from 48th out of 51 to second in the country.
Wow.
And I did less than I ever had done in the previous 18 years of my corporate life.
Amazing.
So the exercise that I did for myself and then did with each of my teams over the next month is a tool that I have been using for the past decade with the business owners that I've been working with.
Yeah.
And it is purely a prioritization exercise. And seriously, I'll give you the exercise to do now. You have to, if you've got a piece of paper, jot this down.
Fab.
Question one is, ask yourself, what are the challenges that I'm facing right now? And include personal and business.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the challenges, the frustrations, the things that are getting in the way, the things that have been consuming your time?
Yeah.
And write them all out. And if you've got post-it notes, do them on post-it notes.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're going to do is you're then going to prioritize all of those items, literally. If you've got 15 things written down, you've got to prioritize every single one, 1 to 15.
Yeah.
You can't have two number ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep comparing until you've got your priority list.
Okay.
Question number two, what are the opportunities that you have right now? What are the things you want to do? And that's usually things like, it might be a sales initiative, it might be a website, it might be recruit somebody. But they're normally things that are going to advance yourself, your people, or your business.
Sure.
Now, when you do this exercise for the first time, normally you have a lot of challenges and a few opportunities. But these opportunities you're not getting around to because all the challenges are getting in the way. So you've got this list of opportunities and prioritize those.
Mm-hmm.
Now all you do is you start comparing your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the number one challenge and compare it with the number one opportunity.
Interesting.
And ask yourself, which is the bigger priority?
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you it'll be the number one challenge because that's stopping you from doing the things you want to do.
Yeah.
So that's your number one project. Now you go to your number two challenge
mm-hmm.
and compare that against your number one opportunity.
Yeah.
Your number two challenge is probably going to be your bigger priority.
Yeah.
And you just keep doing that exercise until you come up with the top six,
mm-hmm.
and then you're finished.
And the rest just go.
The rest go. You throw them all in the bin. You don't need them for the next 90 days.
Yeah.
If you get everything done, you just do the exercise again. But we do this every 90 days.
Yeah.
And then what you've got is six things. And then you look at those six things, and you fold the piece up to begin with. You fold the paper over, or you hide three of the post-it notes. So you have three things left in front of you. And you make a judgment call. Do I think I could work on all of those three things throughout the next 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can, great. If you get feel, and I say get feel, so it's whatever comes to mind, whatever you feel initially is probably the right answer.
Yeah.
And if it's just two, well, get rid of that other one.
Okay.
And then what you do, you set about working on those one, two, or three things. And what you've got to get used to is being uncomfortable with the fact that you've just thrown away 27 other things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's brave, but it's life-changing, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we do spend a significant amount of our time. I think what I find when I speak to people about these sort of issues, especially if they're just starting a business or got a lot going on, they're trying to do a million things at once and nothing is going ahead. And I remember in your workshop you did this sort of analogy with the chairs.
Yes.
Which, if you can describe over a podcast, would be great. I know it's difficult because it's a very visual demonstration, isn't it? But it's about having a number of projects, and if you're doing a little bit on each project all the time, what project's ever getting finished? And that's nothing. Often for someone whose project is start my own business, quit my job, two massive things, but they're doing those the smaller tasks within the setting up my business a little bit at a time and in a kind of disjointed and unprioritized way. It never happens, and that's always a shame when I see that.
Yeah.
Because I see people who have got an incredible potential, but it's just these sort of things that can change. It can make the difference between that individual actually doing that massive life change that will make them more contented, balanced, whatever we want to call it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you want me to try and describe that visual exercise?
Sorry.
Okay. I'm going to buy myself about another minute. What I'm going to say is, a lot of people will have heard of Tony Robbins.
Mm.
And if you haven't, just go and Google Tony Robbins.
Oh yeah, I love him.
At this moment in time, he's probably the most well-known.
Yeah.
Certainly one of the most successful.
Yeah.
Again, people call him all sorts of things, but let's say in the field of personal success, business success, this guy is phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's on the global scale. When he does an event, 10,000 people turn up.
Yeah.
And they're all happy to pay £500, £1,000 to go to that.
Oh, 10 grand some of them,
I was in the cheap seats.
Really?
So they were the cheap seats. You're quite right.
The 3-day Florida ones is the one I'm thinking of.
So this guy has had a quote, and I love this quote, because again, if I go back to when I changed what I was doing, I slowed down and I stopped trying to achieve things too quickly.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I achieved so much more than I ever had done by trying to do less. And it kind of, when you first hear that, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
But his quote is, and it actually starts off with, once you master time, you'll realise that most people overestimate what they can achieve in a year, which comes back to you saying a million things at once. But what they do, they completely underestimate what they can achieve in a decade.
Yeah.
And I know I've been there in the past. It's when you get to the end of the year and you start writing your goals for the coming year, how many times are you writing the same goals?
Oh, I've been
as
there,
the year
yeah.
before?
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, part of the problem is you were trying to do too many things.
Mm.
The other part of the problem is we didn't stay focused on one thing long enough to finish it, as you've just said.
Yeah.
So I've bought myself a little bit of time to try and work out how I describe this exercise. But you're right, because it is something I talk about very early on now in the workshops and the people I'm working with. So let's say you've got three projects. Let's come back to our top three.
Yeah.
And you've got three projects. And let's just say each project needs 5 steps of time to complete.
Yeah.
So if in an ideal world, you pick project one up and you would just, let's say weeks, rather than steps, let's say weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say project one is going to take you 5 weeks to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So you would start on project one, week, and you'd do project one, week one. When you come to week two, you work on project one.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to week three, you work on project one.
Yep.
And week four and week five. So when you get to the end of week five, you have finished project one.
Yeah.
But you haven't touched two or three.
Yeah.
So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
You then go to project two. and you spend 5 weeks on project two.
Yeah.
Because one is finished, but you ignore three.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's mm-hmm. 10 weeks in total. And then you go to project three. So the only project left, it's going to take 5 weeks of time. So that's 5 weeks. So you've got total 15 weeks
mm-hmm.
and you've just achieved three big projects.
Yeah.
But here's what happens. We've got project one, two, and three.
Yeah.
We start on project one. And we probably start with a vengeance, and we might do 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, we think, right, now I'm going to start project two.
And I think that reason for a lot of us who are entrepreneurial is magpie syndrome, or we get bored, or that project two looks shiny and new now. I can't be bothered to finish project one.
I'll say something in a minute that you're not going to like.
Okay.
I'm just making a note to make sure I remember to say what
sure.
I want to make sure you're not going to like what I'm about to say.
Okay.
So for the first 3 weeks, we've done project one. But now yeah. we've stopped. We come back to project two,
mm-hmm.
and then we start on that for 2 weeks. And then we think, I've got project three. So then we have a burst on project three. And let's say we do that for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we've done 8 weeks,
mm-hmm.
but we haven't finished anything. But by now, previously, we'd already finished project one, and we were 3/5 of the way through project two.
Yeah.
But so far, we've not finished anything. Now, at that point, you think, right, I'm going to go back to project one.
Yeah.
And you spend a week on project one.
Yeah.
And then you think, project two, I've only done 2 weeks. I need mm-hmm. to. So then you come back to project two and you do a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then because you're somebody who then flips between things, what then happens is you pull out project four.
Yes, that sounds like me. Yeah.
And you do a couple of weeks on project four.
Yeah.
And then you come up with project five. And you might do 3 weeks on project five, at which point you think, I've not finished project three. And you go back to project three, and that's another week. Now, I've just scribbled out 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I've just scribbled out 16 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You're now on 5 projects, and you haven't finished anything.
Yeah, that sounds really familiar.
And this story from the early 1900s that influenced my thinking during this weekend is just about priorities. And I think one of the skills, and it is a skill that we need to develop in today's world, I think there's two skills. I think there's one skill of saying no.
Yes.
And I think another skill is just the skill of focus.
Yeah.
And I think they're essential. And the things that you may not like that I'm about to say is, because a lot of the reasons we come up with are just excuses that are getting in the way. Because when you start substituting, I don't have enough time.
Yeah.
With, I haven't prioritized properly. I didn't put enough time into that. I allowed something else. So it's you. You're allowing these things. But one of the things that's going to help you be successful is just accepting it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
We live in this microwave mentality of a world where we expect everything straight away.
Instant gratification world we're in now, aren't we? Because you want to watch a movie, you know, we'll remember going down to Blockbuster and it was a whole event.
Oh, crikey.
And you go, you get in the car and you go and you walk up and down aisles and you choose one and you queue and you buy your popcorn and you drive home. And maybe an hour later, you're watching the movie that you want, if it was available.
Yeah.
Now we go click, click, Netflix, don't we, on our phone, our tablet. And that's the world we live in. It's the reality. There's so many conveniences, but I think it changes us as a human race, doesn't it?
And again, there are people out there, because it's so easy to market to people these days. You have, unfortunately, got people out there spouting a load of garbage.
Yeah.
And making a lot of false claims. But we're getting caught up in it, where you're going to get rich quick. And I'm sorry, some of the things you're going to need time.
Yeah.
Anthony Robbins, time.
Yeah.
Stop trying to cram into a year and instead extend your time frame to 5 years.
Yeah.
And you will plan a lot less in a year,
but
you'll achieve a lot more.
Yeah.
So time is one of the ingredients, and you occasionally someone gets lucky.
Mm.
Very occasionally. But, you know, the odds of that, they're millions to one.
Yeah.
Consistency. So this, this focus and saying no to other things, you've got to do it.
Yeah.
Stop making the excuses and learn the skill of being consistent and focused.
Yeah.
And discipline.
Yeah.
Now, nobody likes that word.
It is. It's something that I listened to on another podcast recently about sacrifice. And actually, you know, a lot of people come to me and say, but I want to do this, but I don't have time, or I don't have this, or I've got too many other things going on, et cetera, et cetera. And you have to sort of say to yourself, how big is this goal I have that I want so bad for whatever reason? What am I going to sacrifice? And like you've said, you know, sacrificing your time on social media. We don't need to scroll through everything every day, several times a day. It's addictive. It's there. We do it. And but we do have to make sacrifices. Maybe we just don't watch as much TV for a while because your priority is towards X, Y, and Z. And when you finish that project, chill out with Netflix, not a problem. But it's your priorities. And I think for me, that's where balance comes from, if I want to use that word again. It's not this like rule of work-life balance where you should only work between this hour and this hour, and this hour is my time off with the kids or whatever. For me, it's saying, I know I am really satisfied with what I've got done today.
Yeah.
And I might have done it in an hour today, and I might need 10 hours on another day to get that project work done, but I feel really proud of myself for what I've done today. And then when I'm relaxing or doing whatever social thing I want to do, spending time with my daughter later on, it's totally focused on that moment rather than going, like I said to you in the workshop, oh, my frustration is I don't have as much time as I used to towards the business because I now have childcare. It's not a frustration in itself because it's a wonderful thing, but it's a different situation. And you just said to me, you've got to change your expectations.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, ding.
Aha moment. To do too much.
Yeah. And now I very much do that. And I treasure that time with her as opposed to feeling like I haven't got enough stuff done.
Yeah.
And before, you know, I pick her up from nursery or whatever it is. And that's been a big change for me. And it that's just where the sort of psychological side of it comes in, as opposed to just, I'm not really talking about, I am getting more done for other reasons, but it's the psychological permission and all that sort of thing that we give ourselves to do other things in life. And I think that will probably resonate mostly with people who are building businesses. And we feel like, because of all this stuff out there on the internet about get rich quick and, you know, these ridiculous social media accounts which say if you do X, Y, and Z, you know, you should be making your six figures in 6 months and all this sort of stuff.
Load of garbage.
It's a load of garbage. And it really puts too much pressure on new business owners and doesn't actually focus on, you know what? You are going to have to, I say work hard on the right things, but it is. And we put our time and our effort and our passion into that. And I think sometimes that's something that I have to almost over-explain to people now when they say, I want to start a business, say, well, you got to make some sacrifices. I did when I started my business, but it was worth it. And now that you and I, you know, we might be sort of 10 years down the line or in, and then we sort of take a new approach, don't we? And sort of go, oh, I've been doing the same thing, the same way for a while. I'm not getting different results. I'm 10 years down my business. I've got this growth strategy. And then your methodologies come in place again. It's almost like it was a refresh for me to say, yeah, just because I've been doing this for so long now, I'm not necessarily doing it the right way. I'm not necessarily very clear all the time on why I'm doing everything. So I feel like, you know, it's something that you can use at any point, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I will always, for myself, I do this every 90 days.
Yeah.
And you're out there, you'll see a lot more. There's a lot more information out there and methodology and support for the 90-day planning.
Yeah.
And the 90-day process. Lots of different models and ways of doing it.
Mm.
But where we used to set targets and goals for the year, that has now shrunk to 90 days. And actually, a lot of it has come from a model called OKRs, Objectives and Key Results, that it came from Intel, actually. But somebody from Intel bought it into Google in Google's first year of existence.
Right.
And they have used the OKR methodology ever since their first year of existence.
Wow.
And because of Google's success, obviously that methodology has been looked into.
Yes.
And then companies like LinkedIn were built on that methodology, Twitter.
Interesting.
Yeah, so a lot of the big companies that we see today use that methodology. So 90 days is a time frame we should be doing this anyway.
Yeah.
Because so much changes, and it's so easy to become stale or fall into routines.
Yeah, absolutely.
And get comfortable.
Yeah.
And whereas in 90 days is a nice time period to kind of shake yourself up a little bit and just stop and reflect on how you're doing.
And it goes back to all that sort of lean methodology approach to business, where you're saying, actually, if I'm checking in with this every 90 days, I'm going to actually have a point of reflection where I can actually say to myself, this isn't working for the business. I need to get rid of it. I need to stop doing it. If you're, for example, I know a family friend who owned his own business, quite a ruthless business owner, and he used to have a 7 a.m. Monday morning meeting with his team. If that item was on the agenda more than three times, he refused to hear it again. And I guess the principle behind that was, if we can't resolve it as a team in three things, then I don't, you know, it's that, you know, if you bringing something to the table and a challenge, for example, like you called it, and not finding a solution to that, or it's not pushing your business forward, maybe it's not the right challenge that you're focusing on. And it's such a great way to focus yourself down. Yeah.
And I think just coming back to something you were saying about with childcare.
Yeah.
And me just saying, lower your expectations.
Yeah.
Lower your expectations in terms of how much can I really focus on doing. So it may be when you do that prioritization exercise, you realistically have got time to work on one thing.
Yeah.
And in the past, you may have had 15 hours a week to do that. Now you might have 3 hours a week.
Yeah.
But spend those 3 hours working on the number one priority.
Yeah.
And then 3 hours the next week, and 3 hours the next week.
Yeah.
And what you'll find is eventually you complete things.
Mm.
Well, as you complete things, then you realise the benefit, and that starts to create a change.
Yeah.
In your business and you and your personal life.
Absolutely.
And by doing this 90-day planning as well, it's a really nice period because what you might find is, as you're doing this, you could look at the next 90 days. And it might just be that when you were talking about sacrifice, if you want to make a bit more progress more quickly, well, you're going to consciously remove some things from your life.
Mm.
I'm not saying remove your kids.
No.
But there may be some other things you could remove, and you're going to make that sacrifice. So now you've got 4, 5, 6 hours a week.
Yeah.
And well, that will enable you to make twice the amount of progress.
Yeah.
And then you keep, and then it might be when you plan for another 90 days that you have made some sacrifices, things are starting to progress.
Mm.
You might be at a point where you want to put some of those things back in. So you're going to slow down just a little bit, and you're going to put some of those other personal things back in.
Yeah.
But you're always reviewing it on a 90-day basis.
Yeah.
It's not, this is my life for the next 5 years.
Yes.
Which, when you think about that, could be horrifying.
Yeah,
so
that's it, yeah.
Break it down into smaller chunks.
And I think when you say smaller chunks, I think one of the things that, you know, I had a lady that I did a bit of coaching with, and you know, she said, I want to grow my salon business. So she came to me and we had a chat about that. And she said, oh, I'm back-to-back clients all day. I don't have any time to grow my business and work on it. And I said, talk to me about your micro pockets of time. Talk to me about the 15 minutes earlier you could get up before you get your kids up and get all the half an hour or whatever you can cope with. Talk to me about that 10 minutes at the end of each client appointment before the next one starts. I said, if you can write yourself a list of 10-minute tasks towards your goal. So, for example, she wanted to work on her retail display in the salon so that she could upsell more. Break that down into 10-minute tasks and have your list there. And every time you've got a 10 minutes, within your working day, just do those tasks.
Yeah.
And I spoke to her later and she did say it significantly helped her moving forward, because again, we have this expectation, if I'm going to do it, I've got to do it in a week and I've got to do it all. And actually, how many times have we been in a situation in life where we say, oh, I'm going to do this. And then you find yourself 12 months later saying, I'm going to do this.
Absolutely.
And because we think it's too big a task, or it's too overwhelming, or it's going to take too much of our time, or I'm going to have to quit my job if I'm ever going to do that. Well, maybe if you are starting a business while you've got a full-time job, is there a point in a lunch break or on your commute in, or maybe instead of driving now you get the train, and on the train you do your business, and you know, it's those sort of things, isn't it?
It is. And just, I guess, two other things there. One is, actually it might be three because it's going to bring me on something I wanted to make sure I covered. But one thing is, when you said they're stacked out with back-to-back clients, one of my questions is, do you need to work with that many clients?
Yeah, absolutely. And raise your prices.
So I think, not the workshop we were in, but the one before, I remember somebody asking me, so how do you find that time to work on these projects when you're stacked out with client work?
Mm.
And I said, well, I just don't stack myself out with client work.
Yes.
And they looked at me really confused.
Yeah.
And I went, look, I could see 16 clients a week.
Yeah.
And I would just be busy all week, but then I would never have time to do anything with my business.
Yeah.
So 16 clients a week, I mean, it would earn me a nice income.
Yeah.
But that's the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So I will see between 4 and 6 clients a week.
Yeah.
Which is okay in terms of income. But then I've got all this other time to do the other things that are going to help me grow my business in other ways.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we aim to fill our time with that income-earning work.
Yes.
At the expense of everything else, because that's what we think we've got to do.
Yeah.
Whereas, really, how much money do you really need to earn to manage?
Yeah.
And then, well, whatever that is,
yeah,
do that amount of work, and then free up the time, all the other time, to do the other things. And then the other thing is just when people say, I haven't got time. One, if you find yourself, and I do occasionally say it, and people bounce it back at me, I go, I haven't got time. That's just an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
We've all got 20, you've probably heard this before, we've all got the same 24 hours in a day as Richard Branson.
This is what I say. Yeah. We're all the same time of the day as Oprah. Look what she's
exactly
achieved.
We've all got the same 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
And it's what are you filling it with? And these days, you've mentioned some of the things like social media, TV. Mm. You know, on average, we spend 14 hours a week on social media.
Yeah.
On average, we spend 28 hours a week watching TV.
Wow.
On average, we spend about 11 hours a week on email.
God.
Now,
that's a lot.
There
right
will be
there
a few emails that are worth looking at.
Yeah.
And all of that other activity I've just mentioned, you could remove from your life and have a and you would live. You would be okay.
Yeah, you'd survive. I think there's a certain age, like maybe 25 and under, you think they can't survive,
well,
but they can. And tell me about so when I came on the workshop, you set this challenge for everyone to get out their phones.
Yeah.
You can see the fear around the room. And I love it. So I think we need to set that challenge for the listeners now. So talk us through that.
Well, I'm not going to be as ruthless
go on
as a story I heard. I subscribed to it's called Success Magazine by Dan Hardy, and in there one of his interviewees was a coach, and I always forget her name, and I'm sorry about that. But when he was interviewing, when she takes up a new client, and she's on the global stage, when she takes up a new client, the first thing you have to do is delete every single app off your phone.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not prepared to do that, she won't work with you.
Amazing.
And then what you do is you add each app back in over time.
Right.
As you need them.
As you need them.
Now, I'm not going to be as dramatic as that, but you could give it a go.
Yeah.
So my challenge to whenever I get an audience is take a 2 parts. One, just take a look at your phone and delete some of the apps that you haven't used for a while. You can always put them back on, but just clean out some of those apps.
Yeah.
And secondly, I then do dare. I dare you. In fact, I dare you, listening to this right now, I dare you, delete all the social media apps off your phone.
Yeah.
And you're cringing looking at me already. So delete them off your phone. It's going to, you can always put them back.
Yeah.
And, but what it will do, it prevents you from filling, you know, those micro pockets of time you just talked about. But also a micro pocket of time of 10 minutes can easily become half an hour.
Oh, it can if you're doing something you want to be doing.
So,
you know, like something like
meaningless social media can become half an hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so get rid of them all. So then the temptation isn't on your phone to just scroll through the feeds and watch the talking dogs and the dancing cats.
Yes.
And the other stuff. So if you are going to do social media, then please have a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's because the only reason you should be doing social media is for your business.
Yeah.
So have a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you learned? Have you gone and trained how to do social media.
Yeah.
So that when you do something, you're doing it properly.
Yes.
And then have a plan, have a strategy.
Yeah.
And then that time is diarised in your diary with a time chunk. So if at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you've got half an hour for social media or an hour for social media, that's when you do it.
Yeah.
And you open up your computer and you do it all on a computer, because it's a lot quicker to type on a keyboard.
Yes.
Than it is on the, well, the keyboard's on a tablet or a...
And I feel like there's just, for me, that psychological thing of doing it on my laptop, it's work. Doing it on my phone, it's a you go back and forth, don't you?
So I do. I get rid of every social media app.
I love it. You're looking at me, don't do it right now. I can't, I'm recording on my phone. Excellent excuse. No, but I wholeheartedly agree with you. And I, one of the things that you said was to remove all your notifications, which I did do a couple of years ago, and I find that hugely life-changing. And someone in our workshop did say, well, I have to have things like WhatsApp and whatnot, because if my kids need to get in contact and I need those notifications to come up. And again, it's those things that are a reality of people's life. But if you're trying, what would you suggest if you're trying to, you know, you're working all day and then ping, 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 ping goes on our phones, doesn't it? And every time we look, we either respond or we just take it in, or then we go back to our laptop and carry on a bit of work and then it pings again and we're going back and forth. So how do you, what's your suggestion for people who believe that they need those notifications?
Okay. First of all, is my question is, do you have enough time to do everything you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer I normally get is no.
No.
So then I'm going to say, well, let me just let you know that all the science, and again, you can Google this.
Yeah.
But all the science has confirmed that, let's just take one ping. So you're focused doing some work. That ping goes and you stop. You distract yourself from what you're doing just to look at what that ping was.
Yeah.
Even if you don't react to it and you come back to your work, if you're doing something that requires some real brain power, it can take you up to 26 minutes to get back to the same level of productivity.
Wow.
As you were at the point when you were interrupted. So two interruptions per hour, spaced roughly half an hour apart. You're probably only going to get about half the amount of work done in 1 hour.
Yeah.
So if you just get that, get rid of the notifications, when you're actually doing an hour, at the moment you think you're doing an hour's work, but at best you're probably doing half an hour. And it's not just two interruptions an hour, it's probably 22 interruptions in that hour.
Yeah.
So therefore you're now down, well, you're probably down to less than 10 minutes of value work completed in an hour. So from a productivity point of view, you are just not productive.
Yeah.
The other thing is if you are, two things in my head, can't do two things. So if you're, I just want to, just kind of brought me on to multitasking. I'm going to come back to multitasking. So just sticking with these notifications. So it's like watching a 100-meter race.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got eight runners lined up, and the gun goes, and all eight start sprinting, and they're all roughly in a line. And then all of a sudden, let's say I'm in that 100-meter race, and all of a sudden somebody shouts, "Andy," and I stop, and I look at the person in the audience that has shouted my name, and then I stop, and then I turn back, and I start running again.
Yeah.
That one shout causing me to stop.
Mm.
Means, because our productivity reduces about 40% every time we have one, just one interruption. So that means all the other runners have passed in 10 seconds. I will have passed that finish line in 14 to 15 seconds. That's what's happening to the amount of work you're not getting done in a working day, in an hour.
Absolutely. That's a really powerful way of thinking about it, isn't it? And just really, truly understanding the impact that's having.
And that's just one.
Yeah.
And that's without now reacting to what that ping was.
Yeah.
Because if I stopped, turned and then engaged in a conversation with the person in the audience, just as you might now be looking at an email or a text message or a whatever other message you receive.
Yeah.
And I then chat away for 10 minutes. I then pass the finish line in 10 minutes and 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what's happening.
Absolutely.
So, but again, we've got to retrain ourselves.
Yeah.
Because you've got to get comfortable with just knowing it's all there.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to respond. And you know what? It's not that urgent.
And it's okay. You know, and even if you want to gain permission, you know, you can say to your family members, but maybe I'm not going to, between, you know, I've got a really important project, and if I don't get back to you, I'm working, and set those expectations with those around you.
Absolutely.
Specifically talking directly to the type of people that I've done coaching with, that engage with these, with my business academy, are often saying, yes, but my, you know, I've got these responsibilities, I've got these things. And again, it goes down to exactly what you said at the start, which is saying no more, isn't it? And saying, you're not maybe going to get the same level of WhatsApp banter off me all day.
Yeah.
And just say it. And 9 times out of 10, they will wholeheartedly support you, because they know it's important to you.
Just set the ground rules.
Set the ground rules, exactly.
And it's,
yeah,
as important to do that with family and,
yeah,
friends, as,
yeah,
it is with everybody at work.
Yes.
And but again, it's, and this is, again, one of the biggest problems we've got today is this lack of being present.
Yeah.
Because we're constantly switching between different things. And the classic is time with the family.
Yeah.
But then you're dipping into your phone, looking at messages and emails and social media.
Yeah.
Then back to your family. And then you're back in. And like I'm saying, every time you're switching, you're reducing your effectiveness.
Yeah. And enjoy and the quality of those relationships you're building.
With your family,
yeah,
that's the enjoyment. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And so be present. So,
yeah,
if you've got an evening of 4 hours, but you know you want to do some work, set that, pre-agree it with your,
yes,
family.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to take an hour and a half,
yeah,
to do some work. But once I finish, because you'll actually get an hour and a half of work done, instead of trying to do bits throughout the evening and your total work completed might be 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Do an hour and a half of work, but then go and have 2.5 hours of quality time with your family.
Yeah.
Where you actually get 2.5 hours time with your family.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you just build those ground rules, those pre-agreements.
I think that's brilliant. And I just want to quickly go into a bit of a context that might be more relevant for some of the people listening who are still in full-time work and maybe not thinking of starting their own business, but enjoy, you know, want to, you know, enjoy self-improvement and want to think about these sort of things in terms of their work life. So it's a different situation than an entrepreneur where we are, if you like,
insane.
Insane, yeah. I'm like a glutton for punishment, no. But I guess maybe I've got this wrong, but we very much are in charge of designing our day, should I put it that way?
Yes.
And in the workplace, we're sometimes not. So, for example, we sit in an open plan office and we have no control over that, and Mr. and Mrs. Blogs over there are always chatting and distracting us, and there's the water cooler moment, which,
yeah,
can be powerful. Networking can also be an excuse for a chat. You've got arbitrary meetings that happen every week at the same time, and we all remember from our previous,
yeah,
jobs. How can they implement these sort of things into their work life so that, you know, they can progress quicker in their career and, you know, get more done when a lot put on our plate, actually, that they maybe don't have control over how many priorities, in inverted commas, are given to them if they're not management or a,
okay,
decision maker. Big question. Sorry, there's about 57 questions in there. Let me break it down. First of all, let's talk about working in an open plan,
yeah,
office,
okay,
and trying to implement these methodologies in that environment.
And I think when you're in an open plan office, part of that environment is the social element.
Yeah.
And so I think if you've got, let's say you've got, for the purpose of the conversation, you've got 7 hours where, in theory, that's work time.
Yeah.
Then set a timer. A couple of things. One, stick some headphones on.
Yes.
Or just earplugs.
Even, yeah,
if you're not listening to anything,
yeah,
just the fact that you've got something on, you'd be amazed at how many people walk past you and leave you alone.
Yes.
And certainly the shared office that we're in,
yeah,
that is the norm. That,
yes.
It's almost that. It is an unwritten rule.
It's an etiquette thing, yeah.
That's the word. If,
yeah,
somebody's got the headphones on or the earplugs in, you don't approach them.
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
Yeah.
But so maybe something like that will stop people interrupting you.
Mm-hmm.
But also, maybe just set an alarm and either go for a 30-minute, 45-minute, maybe an hour max sprint.
Yeah.
So you're going to get your head down, you're going to ignore everybody, you're going to work.
Yeah.
But then stop, get up, and go grab a coffee for 10 minutes.
Mm. So you're not becoming the person in the room who isn't engaging in the social aspect and maybe not being part of the culture or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's nice to do that. Anyway.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But and I think that also, if you are somebody that likes to be social, chained to your desk for 7 hours a day is not going to be good for your productivity.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you're going to be there for 7 hours, but you're probably going to get 4 hours worth of work done.
Yeah.
So do an hour, go and have a bit of a break, go and have a talk. Then you come back, do another hour.
Yeah.
And then go and get a coffee and go and have another 10 minutes talk. So by the end of the day, in your 7 hours, you might have worked for 6 hours, but you'd have got 6 hours work done.
Yeah.
When you're constantly being interrupted, or bitting and bobbing between different things, you're probably getting 3 hours of, or 4 hours of work done.
Yeah.
So you're actually going to be more productive working in that planned way.
Yeah.
And that's something most people on the planet don't do. We don't plan.
I think that's brilliant. And the message really is that even in a workplace, if you're not, if you like, your own boss, you still can impact, you know, you can impact your own career progression through your own self-management.
Absolutely.
And things like that, you know, it doesn't have to be an a case of blaming your environment or, you know, saying that you don't have control over that situation. Because I always say to staff, if you want to be paid more than you're paid now, do more than you're paid for. And
add more value.
Add more value. That's another way of saying that. Yeah. And it's just a way of saying, you know what, these sort of things are a way that you can progress in a career and you can actually show your management that you can produce a great deal more, as I'm sure you did when you came, when you sort of had this discovery of this methodology in your workplace. And like you said, went flew up the chart in terms of success of the branches.
And one other thing I'd just add, when you are in a work environment where you're not necessarily the one making the decisions around the workload, and it's what I did. I guess I had a bit more autonomy. I was going to do, but I still didn't do about 70% of the things I was being asked to do at the time.
Yeah.
But then, out of desperation, I was going to quit. If you're going to fire me for what I'm not doing,
yeah,
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
It's perhaps not necessarily the approach we should all take. So, but something that got shared with me a long, long time ago is when you're planned, you know what your workload is and you know how much time it's going to take and you know how much time you've got to get it done. So the beauty of having that planned out is, let's come back to those 7 hours a day. And let's say you've got seven big things you need to do, and each one's going to take an hour.
Yeah.
And then someone comes along, probably your boss, and says, oh, could you just do this? Or I need you to get this done. And they now give you the eighth thing. And normally what we do is go, yes.
Yeah.
And it sits in the heap. And now we're back to starting to not finishing things and get things done.
Yeah.
And a phrase to say to them is, look, that's great. I'd really love to do that and help you with that and get that done. And then because you've got your day planned out, you can actually show them your day plan. And you can say, look, this is my day plan. These are the seven things that I have scheduled for today.
Yeah.
So for me to help you get that done, could you just let me know which one of these things you don't want me to do today?
Yeah.
And at that point, a reasonable boss, just as long as they're being reasonable, there are some unreasonable ones out there.
Yeah.
In which case, why are you working for them?
Yeah.
There are plenty of great bosses out there.
Yeah.
And at which point they're either going to say, look, this is really urgent, and they're going to help you work out what you're not going to do.
Yeah.
So you can fit it in.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to go, you know what, I'm going to leave you with it.
Yeah.
And I'll go and find someone else.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, that's and excellent advice. Yeah.
It's a really nice way to do it.
It's a great negotiation.
Saying, I really want to help you.
Yeah.
But you help me decide what it is I'm not going to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Brilliant. Well, I'm conscious of time. I just want to ask you to share with the listeners where they can find out more about what you do, because I know people listening to this will go, oh my god, I want to implement all of this. How do I do it? How do I meet Andy? Where do I find all these nuggets of gold? So tell them what it is that you put out there into the world and how they can
get on board with it. I mean, the website is normally where someone wants to go.
Yeah.
So that is smartweek.co.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just .co. I mean, you save your time typing the web address in.
Yeah.
So smartweek.go, everything is pretty self-explanatory in terms of what's available and what you can look at.
Okay.
If you want to find me on LinkedIn, that is Andy M. Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
I have to put the M in.
Yeah.
So that you can find me.
Yes, of course. Good idea, yeah.
Andy M. Edwards. If you try, you may well find me on Twitter and Facebook. Somebody told me I should have one of those accounts years ago. I am not active on either of those. I'm not even that active on LinkedIn. But if you message me or you get in touch with me via LinkedIn, I will reply.
Yeah.
But Facebook and Twitter, I have nothing to do with.
So you are really living and breathing your message.
So LinkedIn is, and actually, I am about to start doing more with LinkedIn now. The program Smart Week is there. I'm going to start to engage more with social media because there's a reason to do it.
Of course.
And I'm back to, I see all these people doing social media, and I go, well, what are you doing it for?
Yeah.
Because I think I should.
Yeah.
Well, maybe 8 years ago I thought I should, and I did a little bit, and then I just stopped and thought, why am I doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to be the two best ways. If you want to drop me an email, it's andy@timesmart.co.
Fantastic. And what you're developing is an online program where people can learn and implement all of these.
Smart Week. Yeah. Yeah, Smart Week has come about. Smart Week is I guess it's an amalgamation of what I personally did.
Mm-hmm.
During those last 2 years in my role,
and
what I did with my managers.
Yeah.
My managers were business owners. We were just employed business owners.
Right.
So that takes what I did there and what I've been sharing with all my clients since, and I've packaged that up into a system called Smart Week.
Mm-hmm.
And the principle is you design 4 single week plans.
Yeah.
Where you fill all 168 hours of the week.
Yeah.
But it's a 13-week process that each week I share a different principle, a different tool, and something else to consider about what goes into your week. So by the end of 13 weeks, you've got a whole lot of the tools and strategies that are going to help you self-manage maybe more effectively than you have before. And also you're going to have developed these week templates as well. And those week templates will change and evolve over time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's packaged up in a really simple 13-week online program.
Amazing.
That you can do at your own leisure.
That's brilliant, but with specific goals.
With specific goals,
No, that's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know it's precious, and I appreciate you prioritising us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, if you want to engage more with the Academy, you can find us on Facebook at Le Q. I was going to say Le Q Vintage Salon then, at Le Q Business Academy. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to speaking to you all again soon. Take care. Goodbye.
Excuse me.